Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, January 28th, 2014. Today, we're going to talk about emerging markets, and is that a bubble? This is what you hear. It's all about the emerging markets. They're tanking, and that perhaps they are the bubble. And I want to know, what do you think is the financial, what is the biggest financial bubble in the markets? Do you think it's bonds, emerging markets? Could it be the Dow, the NASDAQ, China, Japan, U.S. dollar holding out at this 80 level, basically? So give us a call at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191 if you care to give us what you think is the biggest financial bubble that is threatening your savings. Let's get right to the gold and silver markets today. You had gold still trading above 1255 holding. A little bit of pressure down 220, and that is to be expected with the you-know-who's speaking tonight out of Washington. And, of course, you have the FOMC meeting this week, and you also have Ben Bernanke throwing the baton to Janet Yellen. So a lot of things, and you could see a little pressure, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of pressure. Silver's down 12 cents today at 1967. Was a very good year. Platinum was down a dollar at 1416, along with palladium down six at 721. USDX today trading, the US dollar trading higher, 0.08 at 80.55. Crude oil took a nice bump up today, 1.52 at 97.24. And the paper markets today, of course, they were going to do the best that they could do in today's market. I figured it'd be back 90 points today, again, for the same reason of the big speech tonight, up 90 at 15,928. The NASDAQ was up 14 at 4,097. S&P up 10 at 1792. And the 10-year yield today, 2.75%. Good afternoon, Al.
Hey, Melody. So
what a day. What a great day it's been.
Well, I don't know. It's been an interesting day. It hasn't been all that great for me. It's just been another day, but if you're having a great day, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Very hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver, and a lot of people are, at least, have ones that have been out for a while are coming back in saying, yeah, you know, we've been in paper for a while and, you know, we don't feel comfortable holding this paper. And even the money we have in the banks, we're beginning to feel a little uncomfortable with the way things are headed. So, you know, hey, you have a couple hundred point drop in the financial markets and the Dow Jones, and it gets people's attention.
Yeah, it gets them because there are a number of reports from people. They're asking. We had something like 200 points one day and 300 the next, and it's not the end of the world or anything like that, but it's enough to get every, mom's home, you know, she's going to tell dad, you better watch what you're doing here. You feel like a little kid practically when some of these things happen, and you get a certain reaction out of it and the rest of it. But part of the reaction is a significant number of people who comment on the markets are, they consider the possibility that this is the beginning of a significant correction. And it's not news. People have been talking about the possibility that the markets are on the verge of a significant correction. I bet they've been talking about it 6-8 weeks now. There's been serious conversation. And, you know, it's one of those things when it all of a sudden, oh, 500, is this it? You know, it's like Sanford and Son, if you remember that old movie or that old TV series. And Sanford, Red Fox, he was periodically, oh, it's the big one. And he's talking about having a heart attack in order to get sympathy, control, released from any obligation that his son might think he should perform.
Wheezy.
Now, Wheezy. You're getting your situation comedies confused. Wheezy was in the Jeffersons. Moving on up to the big time. See what? Wheezy wasn't in with Sanford and Son.
Well, what was his wife's name?
He didn't have a wife.
But she.
Well, I might have had a wife. I don't know. I didn't watch the program all that much. But she wasn't around very often. If he had a wife, she didn't appear.
Well, she was dead. And that's what he was talking about. But she had a name.
I don't think it was Wheezy. And I know that Wheezy was the wife of George Jefferson in the Jeffersons. And I'm pretty sure of that. But it's all before my time. Melody, I guess you would remember those things more clearly than I do because it was all before my time. I just read about it in a book.
Elizabeth. It was Elizabeth.
Might be.
I know his aunt was Aunt Esther and his wife was Elizabeth.
Yeah, Aunt Esther sounds right.
His dead wife's name was Elizabeth.
Okay. Yeah. I'll accept that. But in any case, we see the markets drop 200 points, 300 points, and people do, you know, the Jefferson routine. Oh, my gosh, this is the big one. You know? And it's not, at least not yet. And so, but when we do the big one, we do the George Jefferson routine. Oh, my gosh, it's the big one. Well, people get excited. And they think maybe it is the big one. And for all we know, you know, it's not impossible. Could be. But it hasn't happened yet. And so people start looking for alternatives, and we are already, all of us, to some degree, antsy, anxious about our investments. Because on the one hand, those of us who've invested in gold, we've watched significant decline in the price of gold since 2011. We've had 2 years that weren't, you know, absolutely nothing to celebrate. Other than the fact that you can buy more now, it costs less to buy gold. That's the cause for celebration. The golden lining in this particular cloud. But while the stock markets have come back to record or near record highs, it's also clear that they are being supported to significant degree by government stimulus programs. Government stimulus, the QE is not supporting the price of gold, that's for sure. But it has been allegedly helping to maintain the stock markets. And if QE is going to be tapered and reduced, then presumably that means that support's going to be withdrawn from the stock market. It suggests that the stocks may fall without a continuing supply of quantitative easing. What else? I can't recall. There's other, on top of which, the markets like the Dow, for example, has been at record highs. And everyone has to wonder, how much higher can it go? Is it likely to go much higher? Or is it likely to go through a significant correction? A lot of people think significant correction, and therefore a lot of people are talking about it. We don't know that it's going to happen, but people talk about it. And, of course, that makes those people who have invested in paper, makes them anxious. And if you're going to buy low and sell high, paper markets are at a high, at or near. On the other hand, gold is at a low, two-year low, you know, and likely to go much higher, while, you know, markets aren't likely, paper markets are not likely to go dramatically higher. Even if they don't have a correction, what's the probability that the paper markets will go higher? Talked about this a couple of days this week, earlier this, maybe yesterday, maybe last week, I don't recall. Oh. But again, price of gold could easily, it's not inconceivable. It may not, I'm not making a prediction here, but it's not inconceivable price of gold could double by the end of this year. I'm not making a prediction. I don't expect it to happen, but it's absolutely within the realm of possibility the price of gold could go up to $2,500 an ounce. That could happen. Now, who thinks the stock market, the Dow Jones, is going to go from 16,000 to 32,000 this year? Who even imagines that's possible? And the answer is nobody. Uh-huh. Which means gold could, it's conceivable, gold could have a 100% increase this year. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It could happen, though. It's feasible. Nobody believes Dow Jones is going to have a 100% increase in the next 12 months. It's just not going to happen. So you look at those two possibilities, and if you buy low and sell high, where do you want to be? Right, well, now, gold is the place to be.
There's also a possibility that people who have credit cards can find a $9.84 charge on their debit or credit card. This was a Consumer Protection Better Business Bureau came out with a national alert about a scam. And this actually came out yesterday. And so you should closely monitor your credit card statements to see if you have a $9.84 charge. And the charges look very generic, but most people would overlook something like that, thinking, oh, I must have bought something online and blah, 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 blah. But they can actually trace that. They trace the operation to two men from Cyprus and a Malta-based bank that was processing the debit and credit card payments. And the scam was first uncovered by a journalist, Brian Krebs. And it was mostly part of a scheme that stretched from Cyprus to India and to the United Kingdom. And so look on your credit card, folks, for a $9.84 charge. So, you know, you have Target. And I saw another store that just recently came out. I'm not thinking of Target, but just yesterday they came out and said that they thought that some of their data has been breached.
Yeah, I've seen one. There wasn't all that much. I think it was only about 60,000 names or something like that. I can't recall who it was.
Well, it's not 100. You know, it's not 100 million, but 60,000. If you're one of those
60,000,
you're one of those 60,000. It's a lot. So
yeah, if you're one of the 60,000, but you know, if it's the point to it is some of these outfits are losing control of 100 million. Bits of data identifying for 100 million people. Others are only losing 60,000, 70,000. The point is, this does not inspire confidence in using credit cards. We're seeing a series of companies that have lost control of a significant number of credit card information. And the result is, where can you be sure of doing business with your credit card right now, where you can be sure that your information is not going to be hacked? The implication of these multiple stories is that it's relatively easy. So simple, even a child could do it. And the other thing you talked about, the other thing that's does not inspire confidence. You said that this new $9.84 charge that's going out on some unknown number of credit cards, but presumably hundreds of thousands, perhaps tens of thousands anyway, hundreds of thousands probably. Now, who knows where this is going? I don't know how what numbers are really there. But who discovered this problem, Melody?
It was a journalist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How is it that the banks didn't discover it? How is it that the government didn't discover it? How is it that these people seem to be protecting
our... Let me tell you.
They don't get a clue on this stuff, but some journalist is the one that blows the whistle on it.
Let me tell you why. Because credit card companies, they never get caught. Because they just backcharge to the business. Banks don't care about their credit cards. They just backcharge to the business. All the customer has to do, if he got scammed or even if he bought something, I mean, credit card fraud on the internet, I mean, there's no protection to the business. They just get backcharged. And it put people out of business. That's one of the reasons I don't care to take credit cards at this point in time. People can buy gold online and get the gold and say, well, I didn't make that charge. And guess what? They backcharge the business.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to prove that.
It's one of those things you can't afford to have
send
out a team of lawyers from Pennsylvania to, who knows, Kansas.
The banks don't care. The credit card companies don't care.
Well, you know, it does not inspire confidence. That's the point to all of this. And, you know, confidence when it comes to cash and the Federal Reserve and fiat dollars, confidence is their most important product. That'll be one of the things that El Presidente is going to try to inspire tonight, I suppose. He's going to try to inspire a little confidence in the economy. Think he'll be successful?
Well, for the first time ever, working-age people now make up the majority in U.S. households that rely on food stamps.
Yeah.
Food stamp participation since 1980 has grown the fastest among workers that have even some college training. And by education, about 28% of food stamp households are headed by a person with at least some college training, up from 8% in 1980. So, you know, you have a lot of college students. They have a low income, and, you know, they're getting the food stamps. So, you know, they talk about it's high wages, high employment, stagnant wages. And I was like, well, haven't we been in a recovery?
Well, maybe the problem is that our college educations just aren't that good anymore, Melody. It used to be that college-educated people didn't need food stamps. Now college-educated people do. Does that mean the economy is going down, or does it mean that our standards of education are going down? Huh? Answer me that one, Melody.
Hey, here's one. Since 2009, more than 50% of U.S. households receiving food stamps have been adult ages 18 to 59. And normally the food stamps were going to the elderly and to the very young. And now we have another sign. We don't have a recovery. Things are not going to get better. And I find it very hard to believe that if we use this article and we take the condition of this country, that we're going to have a stronger dollar, as some of those out there say. So. I mean, it's just like you have to be an idiot to think that our currency is going to get stronger. Now, to me, that does not, I wouldn't want to place my money into someone's hands that thinks that our currency is going to get stronger.
Well, a lot of people do, and on one level, they might be right, but it won't get stronger in the free market. It'll only get stronger if the government manipulates it to do so. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I want to just encourage folks to go to our website at dgscoins.com, DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins. .com, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Mondays, and it's a good little publication. I mean, there's not 30, 40, 80, 100 pages, but what we have, they're good articles. They're there to make you think and to take action. So make sure you do that and share it with the folks that you know and your family and your friends, and get them to see the truth. So, and tonight, I'm not quite sure how much truth we're going to hear. But we were talking about the speech tonight and confidence, and he is going to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour for federal contractors hired in the future. And this is an initiative to be unveiled tonight in the State of the Union address. He's going to issue an executive order for the contract workers, which includes janitors and construction workers, and repeat his call to reluctant lawmakers to increase the minimum wage for all employed Americans. Federal contract workers are paid $7.25 an hour, the rate for private sector employers, White House spokesman Bobby Whitmore said today. He said he didn't have a cost estimate for increasing the minimum by 39%. We believe this action will produce good value for the federal government. Higher wages will attract higher quality workers who are more productive, reduce turnover, which can significantly offset the cost of providing higher wages.
Well, why do you suppose he doesn't have an estimate of how much money this is going to cost?
Because he doesn't have to.
It's not just that. That would be something that you should be able to brag about. But I'll make you a bet that the numbers of people working on a contractual basis with the federal government who are getting minimum wage or something less than $10.10
an hour. Probably very little.
That's exactly right.
Very little.
Obama, it's like he's going to pass a law that everybody who can fly by flapping their arms gets a free ticket to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't many people who can fly by flapping their arms, and I doubt that the federal government has hired many people for minimum wage. This is a gesture, largely. That's my suspicion. I don't know what the numbers are. I stand to be corrected, but my guess is this is a gesture. Everybody's going, yay, yay, President Obama's guaranteeing. By the time he gets done, there might be 500 or 1,000 people that have seen their pay go up by $3 an hour. What can you say?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I agree with you. There's probably very few. And but what he's trying to do, he's good at it. He's good at raising stink. Because you're right, his call to reluctant lawmakers to increase the minimum wage for all employed Americans. And that's what that is really about. You're right, it's a gesture, and it's to put more pressure on the Congress in order to raise
that's what it is. You know, it'll put a little pressure on people unless someone else actually does the numbers. And I don't know what the numbers are. There may be a significant number of people who will be, they'll be taking home more money because of this increase. I don't doubt that some people will, but I doubt that it's a significant number.
Yeah.
Stand to be corrected, but I'll bet it's not.
It's just, just to get the people fired up.
Probably the only people that really need the extra $3 are those that are working in the White House right now. Obama's probably got a bunch of people... waiters and cooks and one thing and another like that, they may be making minimum wage, so they'll be hail to the chief. That'll be their song du jour this evening. Hail to the chief. He gave us a $3 an hour raise. What else do we have, Melody?
There was a lot of talks I saw today where there was a lot of talks about the Japan Investment Bank on the 31st, that wouldn't be able to pay their investors.
Chinese.
What did I say?
You said Japan.
Oh, Chinese. I saw that the China government was going to step in, and because that's what I said yesterday. We weren't sure how the government would respond, and I saw something today. It looks like they'll be stepping in and taking care of the problem, but that doesn't talk about how severe and how deep and how many more of these investment banks are out there in China that could raise alarm in the future. So they're getting rid of the first one and eliminating those fears.
Mm-hmm.
But, we already know that China's banking system is has been very corrupt.
It's corrupt, it's unstable, the pollution is so bad, it's like living inside the muffler on an automobile. Anyone who thinks China is just going to march on for the balance of the century, I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to see some big bumps in the road because you can't handle that many people. You just can't deal with it. They don't have the resources. They're just barely holding this thing together, and we'll watch and see how long they can. Again, they're riding a tiger, and we'll watch and see how long they can continue that ride. We had a call, Las Vegas. What's the line on China? All right. We can call Las Vegas and find out what the line is for betting on the Super Bowl. We got to be able to get a line on China. What are the odds that China goes down this year, next year, 5 years from now? What are the odds? It'd be interesting to track that. You were talking about bubbles earlier.
Bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny bubbles.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes they're tiny and sometimes they're big. You know, you were asking if anyone wanted to call in and tell us what they thought were, you know, the biggest bubble that's threatening the economy right now. And if anyone wants to respond to that, this is 1-800-596-8191. Tell us what bubbles you think are the ones that are perhaps most threatening to our economy. 1-800-596-8191. In the meantime, Melody, you had mentioned, oh, we've seen the housing bubble, and there'd been a tech bubble. And we see these bubbles from time to time. And what is a bubble exactly? Do we have a definition of bubbles that we care to share, Melody?
Well, what is your definition?
See, you did that to me, didn't you? What's my definition? What a bubble is mainly just a matter of something being hugely overpriced. There are other definitions that are more technical and perhaps more exact, but the way I understand it is housing bubble. What happened? The price of housing was much overpriced. When we had the tech stock bubble, what happened? The price of tech stocks was much overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
And stocks that should be selling for $100 a share were selling for $200 or $500 a share. This applies to individual shares. It applies to industries like housing or tech stocks or whatever. But what the bubble is something that is hugely overpriced. And when we talk about it being overpriced, overpriced in relationship to what? And the answer is, from my perspective at least, overpriced in relationship to what its true free market price is. We can sustain the housing bubble for a certain number of years. We can use different gimmicks and give people liar loans and one way or another. We can hold the bubble together for a considerable period of time. But what we're doing is creating artificial prices that do not reflect free market reality. And what happens inevitably is the free market finally just intrudes and it overpowers the lies. And it forces all of a sudden the price of housing, a house that used to were was $250,000 for the house, and now it's all of a sudden $150,000. And people are screaming and abandoning their homes and say, oh my gosh, that's the end of the world, and rest, that sort of thing. This is what happens when the bubble pops and the prices that are exaggerated all of a sudden collapse back to a free market level. So what do we have right now that's hugely overpriced and likely to be driven back to a free market level sometime in the foreseeable future? Any suggestions, Melody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should. It's the fiat dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's in all the world right now that is more overpriced than the fiat dollar? It's been held together with, I don't know, spit and bubble gum and baling wire and rest, that sort of thing. And it's been sustained. We've gone to wars in Iraq, because Saddam Hussein threatened the value of the petrodollar by selling Iraqi crude oil for euros rather than dollars. And he threatened our status as the world reserve currency, so we invaded. And from my perspective, that's the true reason. They talk about weapons of mass destruction, and they have some other pretexts from time to time as to why we invaded and to save the poor Iraqi people from the evil Saddam Hussein. So we hanged him, and guess what? They still have as much trouble now as they ever had. Maybe more. Hard to say this is all working out. It was intended. We invaded to protect the dollar. We are suppressing, the government, and the Federal Reserve and big banks on Wall Street, they are suppressing the price of gold. Why? To protect the apparent value of the fiat dollar. The U.S. dollar index, I certainly can't prove it, but I strongly suspect that the U.S. dollar index is manipulated and the dollar index has stayed pretty much in the 80 to 81 range for most of the last, I don't know, 6 months or a year. Maybe that's legit, but I don't think so. I don't think that's free market. I think it's more manipulation. While they struggle to maintain the illusion that a piece of paper that consists, you've got paper, you've got ink, and perhaps a plastic strip incorporated in that little piece of paper. The whole idea is to convince you that a piece of paper that costs 4 cents, perhaps maybe a nickel to produce, is actually worth $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. Is that right? Is that what it's really worth? This whole thing, when I say that we're talking about the fiat dollar, but what we are really talking about is a monetary system that dominates the world right now. And it's all based on a kind of illusion. Now, what is the real value of a modern fiat dollar? And the only way we're going to find out is if and when they remove the government and the Federal Reserve's ability to manipulate the apparent price. We're getting close on that relative to gold. It appears that they're about out of gold. If they are, they won't be able to manipulate the price of gold much longer. Well, if they do lose that capacity to suppress the price of gold, no telling what can happen to it. You know, we talked earlier on the program about the possibility of gold doubling before the end of this year. It could double just because of market pressures that the government is unable to suppress. Right? Government can try to hold gold down, but in the end, if there's enough pressure, it'll go up. But still, will it go to its real price? And I don't think that's going to happen until they're unable to manipulate. They run out of gold, physical gold. They can't use paper gold in the markets to set the price. And I think at that point in time, the price of gold is going to increase dramatically. And it's part of the reason why you can sit back and say, wait a second, this could happen. You know, a lot of people are looking at bitcoins and say, hey, I could make a lot of money on bitcoins. Hey, you could make a lot of money on gold and silver, too. All right. And over time, you're going to make more money on gold and silver than you're going to make on bitcoins.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bitcoins are interesting. They are, you know, it's one of these things. It's like betting on, who knows, somebody's shooting craps in Las Vegas, and he's rolled seven, eight consecutive times. You could make a lot of money if you double. He could make a lot of money if he doubles up again and goes for the eighth time. He might be able to make it eight times. So your money double every time. And all right, he might be able to make it. But he might also lose everything he's got. On the other hand, if he took the same amount of money, instead of rolling the dice again, put it into gold, you might not have such a dramatic increase, but you also won't have a dramatic loss. You're going to have an opportunity over the course of the next, you know, you may have to sit on it for a couple of years, but you're going to see significant increases. The dollar, we're talking about bubbles, and that was the idea we were trying to explore when we first started this little segment. And, you know, bubbles, overpriced. That's what all a bubble is some particular investment vehicle is hugely overpriced. As compared to what? As compared to free market, legitimate free market prices. It almost always means manipulation, price of the dollar, the apparent value of the dollar, clearly sustained by manipulation, even war. All right, there's your bubble, and it's not just dollars. Their fiat currencies are predominant in the world right now, and you can look back and wonder how long can this be sustained before somebody pops that bubble and reality intrudes, and we find out what the paper dollar, the digital dollar, is really worth, and the digital euro, and the digital, you know, any other currency you care to mention. I'm Alfred Addis. Take another break here. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Oh, I had Bob from Iowa send us this article. It's from Mail Online. It's about Mexico is legalizing country's growing vigilante groups as they captured one of their senior drug cartel leaders. And about 20,000 Mexicans have joined vigilante groups to fight the drug cartel's reign of terror over civilians. And the government is now incorporating the groups into quasi-military units. So it's interesting. It's scary. It's creepy. There's something wrong about it. And that's what we were discussing during the break.
Well, what's wrong about it is it's evidence of a government breakdown. The government has effectively admitted that it can't control the drug smugglers in Mexico. And they've probably also admitted that the drug smugglers have caused havoc among the Mexican people, at least in those communities and states where drug smuggling is significant business. Drug smugglers have been throwing their weight around. They've been treating people with contempt and indifference and acting as if they're the real government. And the real government can't do anything about it, at least in some places. And so they've essentially allowed, they've said, okay, we're going to let the ordinary people go after the drug dealers and the drug smugglers.
Well, that's the part where I'm saying, I don't think these are just ordinary people. I mean, I don't know, but...
Well, they're not federales. They're not the Mexican troops. I mean, I think they are ordinary people.
These vigilantes have been armed... Civilians are not allowed to carry, but these vigilantes have been armed with assault rifles.
Civilians
are not allowed to carry, and I wonder how many of those assault rifles actually come from the USA.
The good old USA. If you want good assault rifles, this is the place to go, baby.
We can't forget that.
Looking for assault rifles. Contact the United States. We got them. We got weapons. We got all that stuff. This is not, you know, I look at it and I see this as a parallel to the gun rights, the Second Amendment advocates in this country. What they're doing down in Mexico is they're saying, look, the government can't protect us. It doesn't protect us. We want the right, we want the ability to protect ourselves. This is not so far removed from people in this country that are carrying concealed weapons. What are they carrying them for? They're carrying them because they know for a fact, they know that they cannot count on the police to protect them in a worst-case scenario. All right? That's part of the reason. Insofar as we want our firearms in this country and Mexico wants vigilantes down in Mexico, to me, it's evidence of governments that are no longer in control. And public is just realizing we can't count on you people in Washington. We can't count on you people in Mexico City. You're not getting the job done. Okay, we'll do it ourselves. And the government's finally said, okay, we got to let them do it. You know, you can see something like this when we talk about the Mexican government allows this to take place down in Mexico. You see something like that on YouTube, for example, where you can pick up videos of sheriffs in different counties around the country that are essentially saying, listen, these people need to keep their guns. They're not singing the party line. They're not saying, oh, we've got to take all the guns to protect the people. They're saying, no, these people protect themselves, and they can do it if they have firearms, they can protect themselves. It's the same, it's much the same from my perspective when we see sheriffs doing that, not all of them, not even most of them, but some of them. We see sheriffs doing that in this country. We see the Mexican government saying, okay, have vigilantes. We don't have vigilantes yet, but how far removed are we from having vigilantes in Detroit, for example? How many communities are falling apart in this country? And they understand, the people in those communities understand they're not going to get any protection from the police. They can't guarantee that they can even walk to the grocery store and get some groceries and come back to their homes without being mugged. What are we going to do about that? And I guarantee that the solution in many instances is something like vigilantes. In some regards, it's gangs. But you can look at things like the Bloods and the Crips, and they've all got a terrible image, and they may be terrible people. I get that. And yet, to some degree, they are something like vigilantes. The reason some people joined the Bloods is because they got beat up and nearly killed by the Crips. So we're not so removed from Mexico. It's just you just change the words and you change the language, and it looks like we're seeing two different things, but maybe we're not. Maybe we're seeing something similar, and what it goes back to is some sort of a breakdown in society and some sort of a breakdown in the political system, and this is why you regard this story, this is why I suspect you regard this story of Mexican vigilantes is creepy, frightening, scary. It's not just about the vigilantes. It's about a community that's breaking down. That's what this is all about. What's going to replace it? Will we have communities where everything is decided simply by violence? Because I guarantee you, one of the things that will happen when the vigilantes go after the drug dealers. How long do you suppose that's going to last before the vigilantes themselves become a bunch of thugs in their own gang?
That's right.
They start pushing people around.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It doesn't seem like it's just a way to protect yourself and to defend yourself.
It's evidence of loss of morality, of moral principles down there. It's a loss of civilization. The way you solve a problem is shoot somebody. We don't need to talk to them. We don't need to talk to them, or, you know, you have your opinion, I have mine. Just, hey, bang, 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 baby. It does not bode well, but what else are you going to do? Both nations may need a spiritual revival before they get to a point where we perhaps can get along in this country without violence, you know. Perpetrated by gangs, perpetrated by government. You're right. It is not good news exactly, but it's inevitable news, in my opinion. So,
and particularly as we become closer and closer to basically having no borders, They're looking Republicans. I mean, they're looking to call for legal status for immigrants. It's not citizenship, but it's legal status. And,
yeah,
you know, it's so.
Here, bring that doors, camel. Bring that camel over and put his nose under the tent, will you, please?
The borders are basically no longer. They get the Keystone Pipeline going, and they open up the North American Union, and so you know it's just, you know, this is the path and the road we're on. There's no turning back. To me, I don't believe there's no turning back.
No, there's turning just, back. If you care to turn back, if people would get organized and elect people to people to positions of power. Who were prepared to do what was right for this country. You know, my complaint is not with the Mexicans, the illegal aliens that are coming into this country.
No.
I don't blame them for coming into this country. Who I blame are the people in Washington who refuse to protect our borders. This isn't a problem with Mexicans. This is a problem with Republicans. It's a problem with Democrats who seem to think we've got plenty of money to go invade Iraq and we've got plenty of money to invade Afghanistan. But we don't have any money to protect our own borders. They are the ones that are betraying us. The illegal aliens is just taking advantage of the treason that takes place up in the cat house on the Potomac. And it takes place on a regular basis. And it's going to continue until the American people stop electing people based on their party affinity and who looks like, you know, they're sent down from central casting and they start looking for candidates that actually have some substance and some ideas that they are willing to fight for and some character, some values where they say, I'm not crossing this line. I don't care what kind of wheeling and dealing you people, the rest of them up there have in Congress. I'm not going to cross this line. I'm not going to do certain things, no matter what. I'm not going to do things that are contrary to the best interest of the American people. And I'm not going to trade off and, you know, they do the log rolling and the rest of that and they trade one for another. No, I'm not trading anything. And you got to get a bunch of people up there like that. And if you can, then we can take this country back. And if you can't, then we're all going to have a problem. We are going to see that a nation that was once the finest the world had ever seen, it'll just disappear. It'll be relegated to the ash heap of history, and it's going to happen on our watch.
Has it been such a time, though, Al, where people really forgot the greatness? They've forgotten. They can't relate to the greatness that this country once was. I mean, I talk to people from Turkey. I talk to people from Hungary. I talk to people from other parts of the world, so the Philippines. They come here because they do get their better life. They come here for the American dream, but it seems like the American dream for the citizens is gone. Have we already captured the American dream?
What was the American dream? The American dream from the beginning was that each succeeding generation would live a better life with a higher standard of living than the previous generation. The children would live better than the parents lived better than the grandparents, and the great-grandkids would live better yet. And the American dream worked in this country. It didn't really begin to die until the 1970s. And right now, who thinks that the next generation is going to live better than the current generation? Who believes that?
Yeah, but you bring in somebody from the Philippines, and you bring in somebody from Hungary and Turkey.
I agree.
And yes, their generation, their next generation, if they're here, will live better than what they do.
They live so better. They'll live better than what they did in the Philippines. They may live better than what they did in Hungary.
But they're reaching
for the
American dream, and they're succeeding.
But the American dream is that the whole people, as a group, would continue to prosper and become, you know.
So the group is changing.
It's not. It's no longer available to everybody.
No,
that's all.
That's what I mean. It's changing.
Well, I agree.
The group is changing.
What do you mean the group is changing?
Well, you said for a group of people, the group of people was once for American citizens, but now that group is changing to foreigners.
Yeah, but even the foreigners that come in here will not enjoy. They're doing better than perhaps they did in the foreign country they came from. I'll give you that.
They will for the next generation or two.
They're going to do that. Their children will do better than they do. It's not an automatic. It's not anything like that. Their children will probably not do as well as their immigrant parents did. You know, all my grandparents are immigrants, and both my mother and my father were first generation Americans, and they certainly did better than their parents did. And in theory, I should have done better than them. You know, we should have seen that, but it hasn't really worked out quite that way.
We have a caller, David from Indiana. We have a couple minutes left. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, Melody, now, you know, if we in the industry would just cut down drug illegal consumption 30%, how much that would lighten up the people's burden in Mexico fighting these cartels?
Well, that's an easy, you know, I mean, that's, how do you do that? How do you cut the drug use by 30%?
You don't take the drugs for 2 days a week. You know.
Well, I get that, you're not going to convince you. That's easy. You can convince me of that because I don't take any drugs.
Tell the CIA that.
Tell the CIA. Yeah. I'll tell you what. What do you think the principal addictive ingredient is in drugs, David?
I think people don't have anything else to hold on to but drugs. I think that's the reality to them.
I get that, and I know that some people are just self-medicating, and that's a large part of it. But the principal addictive ingredient in drugs is the enormous profits that can be made off of just harvesting some old weeds out of a field and selling them. There's big money in this stuff. It's precisely, and the money is, why is the money there? It's because it's illegal. You know, if we had never criminalized drug use to begin with, there would always be some. I guarantee that. There'd be people that would be dying from drug use and the rest of it. We'd have that problem. But the average person wouldn't get involved with it if there wasn't money to be made. That's what drives this is profits, and in my opinion, the profits are a function of the prohibition. You don't have a prohibition, all of a sudden it's no big deal. It's not as profitable. No, you know how many people died when alcohol was on, when we had prohibition for alcohol? We had gangs, we had Machine Gun Kelly and the rest of that sort of thing. Legalized alcohol, and guess what? People still get drunk. I get that. But we don't have people shooting over a six-pack or a barrel of beer or whatever. You know, the prohibition is a big part of the problem, and it's counterintuitive, perhaps, but at least that's my opinion on it. David, we're going to have to go. We are out of time. I'd like to get more of your opinion on this, but we don't have time right now. Thank you for your call, Melody, and I will be back tomorrow, folks. This is Financial Survival. Until then, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, David, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.